I am grateful for those who have come before, and I am grateful to Pastor for this opportunity. You know, I never endeavored to use all the 45 minutes, but I can't promise that. I don't know. I actually didn't time myself. All I did was study and pray. And we going to pray that this can be within 45 minutes. Amen. So I may give you some more time to put in your pocket, and you can take it home with you. Well, as we begin, I want to remind us of the worldwide theme for From the Heart Church Ministries. This year we are focusing on the fact that we are blessed with what we have. And we have been taught that we have three things. We possess many things, but we really only have three things. We have, number one, y'all can help me out with this, a relationship with God. Secondarily, we have the truth of God's word. Amen. And thirdly, we have each other. We have one another. That's really what we have. And as we continue in the worldwide theme, Pastor has selected on Wednesday nights to teach us what we believe. Pastor has chosen to teach us concerning that second part of the trifold what we have statement. And that second part, of course, is we have the truth of God's word. In particular, Pastor has been teaching us what exactly we believe that's housed within the truth of God's word. And so, in keeping with the teaching climate of the church, we will continue in Romans chapter 8. So if you delight to turn there, you can flip over there. We won't start off with the scripture right away, but I'll give you some time to actually get to Romans chapter 8. As you're turning there, I would like you to consider for a moment your own personal lives. You know, have you ever had the occasion to try to prove a point to anybody? You know, raise your hand if you've ever had the occasion to try, you know, you're trying to prove a point, right? And you know, what do you discover about yourself when you're trying to prove a point? You know, you come up with every reason to justify and to support the cause that you're trying to explain to the hearer. And you know, and sometimes when the hearer is not readily receptive of what your points are, what do? We try all the more to get you to understand what we're trying to say. Well, actually, that's pretty much what Paul is doing here in Romans chapter 8. He's proving a point, you all. He's building a case, if you will, if I can use those words. Paul is doing this actually throughout the entire book of Romans. And he's not doing it just with one point. He's actually proving a point about several different topics. For example, Paul built a case that both Jews and Gentiles needed salvation. Also within the book of Romans, he built a case outlining how God provided that salvation that the Jews and the Gentiles needed. And later in Romans, Paul further builds a case about what exactly sanctification is and why all the believers needed to set their lives apart for God's use, both to the Jews and the Gentiles. Well, a good portion of Paul's letter to the Romans is dedicated to explaining Christian theology in a systematic manner, even to the point I really enjoy Paul in the book of Romans, because he's very practical and he gives us some practical things. He gives them practical things, and we apply those practical things that he has shared with the believers there in Rome. And because there was a variety of backgrounds there at the Church of Rome, you know, you had the Jews who thought that, you know, they were the chosen people and they were special and dear unto God. And then you had the Gentiles who became a part of the body of Christ as well. So you got all these different backgrounds going. So what Paul desired in this entire book of Romans is to clearly articulate the work of Jesus Christ, meaning his life, his death, and his resurrection, because he wanted to be clear. Kind of like we want to be clear when we're trying to prove a point. And so if you want to title this evening's lesson something, you may title it Heavy Duty Guarantees. Heavy Duty guarantees. So, as we're talking about Paul and his ability to prove a point and build his case, he does something that actually debaters, if you've ever been a debater, I was never on the debate team, but you know how in your high schools perhaps there was a debate team? Well, there is a technique that debaters use, and they're trying to prove their point. And that skill or that technique is asking rhetorical questions. Are we familiar with rhetorical questions? You know, it's a quite masterful skill because it's the type of question that, you know, it's asked for one purpose. It's only asked for the purpose of putting some information out there, giving you a question, but really, you don't really need to answer. Because, you know, either the look on my face or the tone in my voice, or sometimes even embedded within the question, I'm giving you the answer. You know, have you had the occasion, you know, 2015, you know, one of those rhetorical questions people use a lot is, really? Really? You know, they don't really want an answer to the question, really? But whatever you just said or did prior to the really, it's like, are you serious? You know, have you ever had this asked to you? Or maybe you asked it yourself to someone. Are you wearing that? Is this dinner? Is this, you know, the question is really answered by the way we ask the question. And so, you know, that's what a rhetorical question is. And throughout the book of Romans, Paul actually utilizes this skill. Now, I just want to say, not every question. Don't go through Romans and every time you see a question mark, you say, oh, that's a rhetorical question. No, not necessarily. Every question in Romans is not a rhetorical question. However, there are a few, and just so that we get the idea as we're leading up to Romans chapter 8, you can jot these down. I just want to show you some examples in Romans of Paul's technique and his use of, you know, he's building this case, right? So you can kind of flip over, hold your place at Romans 8 if you want. Flip over to Romans chapter 2. Drop down to verse 21, where it says, you, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? Do you hear the rhetoric in that?
Yeah.
Then he says, you who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? Do you get the point? Okay, if that's not enough, I want to prove my case to you. Why don't you turn over to Romans chapter 3, drop down to verse number 5, where it says, but if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unjust who inflicts wrath? I'm going to skip that last part and go to verse 6 where it says, certainly not. So he asks the question, but he, you don't know. The answer is no. That's the answer. So the point I'm making is Paul kind of uses this technique throughout because he's trying to really, really prove his point about the Jews and the Gentile, this Christian faith that you have now invited yourself into and accepted. What does all that mean? And so by the time we get to Romans chapter 8, we've become a little accustomed to Paul's use of asking questions that imply the answer within. So let's drop down to Romans 8, verse 31. And what we will actually do is look at 31 all the way through 39. So bear with me for one moment and let's just kind of look at that in general rhetoric. Here it is. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This will serve as our text for tonight. So what we're going to do is to now go through every verse and pull out and unpack so that we can fully understand what Paul is telling the Jews and the Gentiles there at Rome. So go back up to 31. And the first question says, what then shall we say to these things? Or in other words, he's asking them, okay, so I told you all of that. So what are you going to do with all of that? What are you going to do with all these wonderful things I just shared with you? Now, it's been a week since we've all been together. So let's go back and figure out and rehearse what all these wonderful things are. And in fact, it's basically every week's Bible study. Those are these things that he says what you're going to do with them. So, Pastor told us, pulling out of verses 16 and 17 of Romans, he says, the Bible says that we are heirs. If you want to look over there, you can. But it talks about the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. And if heirs of God, then we're joint heirs with Christ. So that would be a part of the, what are you going to do with these things? Not only are